It's my pleasure today to be interviewing Susan Hathaway Marxer as part of the library's oral history project. And I understand, Susan, that you've had some connection with the library in a volunteer advisory basis over the years. Why don't you tell me about that?
I have. As an adult, I was always interested in the place, but as an adult, my interest was really piqued when I was asked to join the Friends of the Library. And I was between jobs, and I thought, well, I could do more than join. I could help them. And because the group was mostly older people, kind, gentle older people, and that was just what I needed to be around at the time. So I volunteered to help, and I really, really liked it. Their office was at the Tidal Wave, and the work was focused on membership related was all on 3x5 index cards.
The Tidal Wave is the library's bookstore.
Library's bookstore, but the library has administration offices there too. So, and they'd given the Friends a little office to use. So that's how I started with organizing the 3x5 index cards that I think had fallen on the floor of all the people who were friends of the library. And I would look through those names and I would recognize the names of people I knew, people I admired, and I thought, well, this is going to be fun for me. I'm going to like this. So that's how I started. And I then was asked to serve on their board. I've been on a few boards in my life.
And so you were on the board of the Friends of the Library.
I was on the board of the Friends of the Library, yeah. And I developed truly some lifelong friendships there. Mostly women, I'm still very, very good friends with.
You're still associated with the Friends?
I'm still a dues-paying member, you bet.
Yeah, all right.
I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, so other than sorting things, what other tasks did you have with the Friends before you got into some of the other stuff?
Well, going to board meetings, and they were looking to grow their membership, very much always looking to grow their membership, because, you know, there's no big carrot for being a friend. It's not like you get a free gift if you join or anything, because you're going to get your books for free whether you're a member of the Friends or not. So, but they had a big fundraiser every year. There was a used book sale, and they still have it. So everyone,
I think now they have at least two sales.
At least two, yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. But they, back in this day and age, they had it actually in the garage at the Tidal Wave. And it was, I mean, everyone who was involved with a friend, certainly on the board, was expected to be at that book sale. The work at that book sale, which was 3 days, you know, Friday night, remember, Saturday and Sunday, and I roped my husband into it, and it just became something that was, you know, it was a kind of a, it was work, but it was also fun. It was kind of exciting to see how people would behave at the used bookstore, whether they were coming on Friday night for what they thought were the really good deals, you know, or on Sunday when they thought they were even better deals. So that was my introduction to the Friends. I was on the board for a long time, and I had a full-time job at the City of Portland for the Park Bureau, one of the other good things that government does besides libraries, in my opinion. And they asked me to serve as president, and I said, I can't do it. I have a family, I'm working, kind of a high-stress job. I can't take this on. And then it turned out, well, my gosh, there was no one else to do it, so I wound up being the president.
Of the Friends.
Of the Friends, yeah, which I was very apprehensive about. And all these people came out of the woodwork to help me because, like I said, I had a family and a job. So that was another kind of affirmation of just how wonderful those people are that are involved with the Friends of the Library, because people came out of the woodwork to help me be the president. And we had a terrific book sale that year, and it was just a really nice, nice experience.
Did you find that the other people that you met involved with the Friends all had a deep passion for books?
Definitely. Oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah. Not everyone's interested in getting a bargain. Some people are just interested in acquisition, and some people are just interested in reading. So it's kind of all over the... you know, all over the map, like it is with people everywhere.
So then you got involved in some other volunteer work associated with the library.
I did. I've been on long-range planning committees for for the library itself, trying to figure out what its future should be. And before that, before the planning committee, there was identification of the library's major issues, many of which revolved around funding. And then elections. I was very, very involved, have been very, very involved with every election they've ever had since then. I still have signs in my garage saying, pass library levy, books and crooks. That was a famous one we had where we were on the ballot. Library levy was on the ballot with a jail levy, which was a very, at the time, was a, the sheriff was pretty apprehensive about it, but it turned out to be good for both of us,
mm-hmm.
both organizations.
Both levies passed,
yeah. And there was an exciting election when, after Ginny Cooper became the director of the library, where we had a bond measure on, and that bond measure allowed, the voters were very generous, and they voted to tax themselves so that we could pretty much revamp the physical system. So we, for the first time in 29 years, a new branch was created at Fairview Columbia, sometimes called the Troutdale Library. And I was actually, by that time, I had been appointed to the library board. So Beverly Stein, who was the chair of the Board of County Commissioners, appointed me after my service as president on the Friends.
Now, the library board at that time, is this at the time when the library was still part of Multnomah County?
The library is still part of Multnomah County.
Well, I mean, it was part of their operation. What was the function of the board?
The board, the Multnomah County,
the library advisory
board is nothing but an advisory board.
Okay.
It does not have the ultimate power that most boards have. And it doesn't have it under the district, the authorized district either. It does not have the power to hire and fire the library director. It advises the county on matters concerning the library, and it represents the community in matters before the Board of County Commissioners.
Was this formed after the library became more independent, or was this something that existed previously?
This had existed for many, many years.
Okay. And you came on while Bev Stein was chairman of the mm-hmm. county commission.
I was actually appointed to fill the term of a guy named Don Barney, who had been my boss when I worked for the Port of Portland. So that was kind of like a mind-blowing experience for me to come on. And most of the people on the board were people who had a pretty high profile in the community. You know, I didn't have that. I was not downtown oriented, even though I worked downtown. I was, you know, I had kids playing soccer. I had a husband.
You were a classic soccer mom.
I wasn't a classic soccer mom, but I was close. Yeah, I was busy. I was very, mm-hmm. very busy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of surprised to be appointed, but I know that it was my involvement with the Friends that propelled me that way, and I was honored to be asked to serve. Bill Nato was on that library board at the time. He was the chair, and he did not suffer fools easily. And so to sit, and I had been to some of those meetings because of being the president of the Friends. Always, the Friends made a decision that it should always have a representative at those meetings. And Bill Nato's way of operating was those meetings were at 7:30 on Tuesday mornings, and I'm pretty sure they still are.
Mm.
And he wanted them to be over by the time the stock market opened. And so
I remember Bill Nato. He was a very interesting person.
He was, yeah. He was. He loved the library, too. Yeah. He really did.
And
it was quite a thrill for me to be on there hobnobbing with people like...
Well, what do you think were some of the most important or the most memorable situations that came up that you had to make some decision on? Anything that stands out from that period?
Well, in order for a measure to go before the public, the Board of County Commissioners has to authorize it. It's going. A ballot title has to be named. There has to be a tax rate set. There's all kinds of background work, you might call it, before a measure ever goes on the ballot. So being involved in that, particularly in connection with the bond, because the bond was going to create new branches, it was going to renovate Central, which was, you know, in seriously bad physical condition. It was going to purchase computers so we would have internet access in our libraries. It was a big, big bond measure. So there was a lot of meetings back and forth about what should be included, what would people approve, what would the Oregonian editorial board think about this, because everyone involved in local politics is always, or they say they are, very interested in what the editorial board might say. So just all of that work about forming and shaping and kind of positioning that bond measure. It's the same thing happens for levies, but...
This precedes but the, bond the is library a, district.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. There hadn't been a capital... This is a capital measure, the bond measure. So that's, you know, that's for physical infrastructure. So that passed when I was, that passed when I was actively involved. And it was really a big thrill to know that Hollywood and Hillsdale and Belmont and St. John's were going to be totally renovated.
And Central.
And Central also. And Hollywood actually moved.
You remember they actually took the roof off of Central.
I do remember that.
Gutted the place and basically started over.
That's right. Bill Nato and I had a conversation one Tuesday morning about 7:45 about we were the only votes in favor of making sure that the windows on the third floor on the south end of the building would still open so that if a person was up there and the weather was nice, they could hear the birds and see the trees rustle. Because it was originally proposed as being pretty much hermetically sealed for, energy conservation purposes. And so Bill and I both agree that that was hurt to have operable windows on the third floor.
I think those trees are still there. They removed some along the front, but they left the ones on the sides.
TriMet very mistakenly moved the ones on the north side for the light rail. Their contractor went way above and beyond.
Yeah,
but the ones on the south side, on the Taylor Street side, are still there.
Right.
And I have been assured that the windows still open.
They still open.
And that they are opened occasionally.
So you have some kind of a heritage that you've left there. Bill Nato and you, right. You've had some involvement with the State Library also.
I'm on the State Library Board now.
Okay. Tell me
about
that.
It's a totally different mission than Multnomah County's library, because the state Multnomah County is a public library with all of the things that go with that. The State Library Board, even though it's in a beautiful building in Salem, it is not oriented towards visitors. It doesn't have books that people can check out. It's not a public library per se, although it's in a public building. It has three missions. It's kind of revamping its mission right now, but its basic missions are to be the library for state agencies. So many state agencies have need for research services, and the state library has staff that helps them. Some agencies use it a lot more than others. Another one is a legislature also uses these research librarians at the state library. Another mission, which I think a lot of people don't know about, and they should, is they run what's called the Talking Books and Braille Services Program for people who are blind or print disabled. And when I first heard about it, I thought, well, I don't think there are that many blind people born anymore. But it turns out there are an awful lot of aging people with macular degeneration. And the number of potential users of the Talking Book and Braille services is really, really growing.
How does Multnomah County Library utilize the services of the State Library? Or do they?
They work together on some programs. So let me get back to the third mission of the State Library, if you will, the second one being helping the blind and print disabled. And they do that through a program that's funded by the Library of Congress that every state gets money to help its blind and print disabled people. Anyway, the third thing is what they call library development. So that group, that those staff, they only have about 36 people at that agency, maybe 36. They help libraries all around the state, from Multnomah County to the tiniest little places in Amity or Joseph or, you know, La Grande, wherever it might be, Lincoln City. They have, so their mission is diverse. But for instance, Multnomah County and the State Library, they cooperate a great deal on things like the acquisition of databases. State Library is a database provider and it makes it available to other agencies, and they may pay or may not as they're able. Multnomah County has housed some servers that, you know, they kind of operate more on the technical side. Plus
servers meaning web servers.
Yeah. Plus the state is the conduit for the spreading of money that comes from Congress, from it's called LSTA, Library Science and Technology Act. Every state is eligible to get this money. And the State Library Board has a grant program, so it helps libraries. Multnomah County doesn't need too much help, but it helps libraries to write grant proposals to develop ideas for what they could do in their libraries. Multnomah County has gotten some very, very big grants. One of them is the celebration of the, it's a Spanish-oriented, I can't remember the actual name of it, but I'm going to say it's the Day of the Dead. It's an important Spanish cultural holiday. And
there is a Day of the Dead.
Yeah. So. I'm not sure that's it, though. But anyway, so, and this branch is where it started.
Here in Midland.
Yeah. They had a library staffer who was very aware of the fact that they had a community that needed service, needed some help, they wanted to attract the Spanish speakers and other minorities who live in this area to this building. And so they started this festival. And they probably funded it, I'm sure they did, with money that they got from the state.
Mm-hmm.
LSTA Act.
You know, Gregory Heights still has a big Spanish language program. And,
so each branch, a branch cannot apply to the state for funding, but Multnomah County Library can. And Multnomah County Library is unique in that, even though it's much more well-funded than any other library around this state, when it gets a grant, it's usually for a pretty big program that's going to serve all their branches. And what they learn from that grant, they share with other people down the line. So if they have one of these attractors to bring young Spanish moms and their babies in on Tuesday mornings or whenever, and they learn how to do this, and they try it here, and then they try it in some of their other branches, and then they try it in every branch, and pretty soon they are sharing what they learned with the people in Amity or McMinnville or La Grande.
So there's a kind of a conduit. The information goes from Multnomah County. Does it go to the state and then gets fed out from there?
They work so well together that when they learn about a success, they don't really want to wait for a state agency to tell them they can. It's okay to do it, but the state puts on programs to help, you know, for all of the libraries to share information.
So of all the stuff that goes on in the background, that the typical library user who's not involved in the mechanics of running a library, of all that stuff that goes on in the background, what do you think is the most interesting or the most significant from a user's point of view?
You mean the unknown stuff?
Yeah, the unknowns.
Well, I would have to say the challenges of operating for most libraries without adequate funding. They're always struggling for money or to stay open. Multnomah County has been very, very successful It's library directors. When I came on board, it was started with Ginny Cooper, who is now a dear friend of mine, who's moved on to other greener pastures, if you will, Brooklyn and Washington, D.C., and she's now retired and living again in Portland. And Ruth Metz, Molly Raphael, Vailey Elke, they have had library directors of extraordinary vision. Extraordinary.
What do you mean by vision? What is it that they see that those of us who are just library users may not even be aware of? What is it that helps them form their decisions about how to proceed?
Well, I think it's their creativity that's unique to them as librarians. But the way I see it is they realize there's a building. You know, there generally has to be a building. But they go beyond the building to the creative, innovative ways to get people either in the building or using the services. They're just extraordinarily gifted individuals, these people that I've named, and many others that have been associated with the library that I've known over the years in Multnomah County, but other places too. Extraordinarily bright and with a sense of purpose that is focused on being lasting and creative and service-oriented. I mean, I should have been one of them, you know? I probably could have been married and had babies anyway.
You wanted to be a librarian.
I did, yeah, when I was a kid, yeah.
Yeah. So where do you think the library is going today? What's in the future? You have any ideas? You've been privy to a lot of sort of background things, but is there a direction
you mean Multnomah County?
Multnomah County Library.
Well, Multnomah County is really at a critical point in its history because of the district having been approved by the voters. What the voters' approval of the district did was to make, it enabled the library, as we know it, not to be intermingled with the county's money. The library's money and the county's money should no longer be intermingled.
So it's a separate entity, as opposed to being part of the general fund.
Right. Correct. And being part of the general fund is what caused so many peaks and valleys, well, valleys mostly, in the library's funding, where, for instance, you would tell people in an election, you'd print it on your material, in a levy election to keep the place going, that this would help pay for library operations 7 days a week, if they would approve this rate. And what most people don't know is, so I'm kind of pulling out strings here, but let's say at the time one of these levies passed, I'm sure this is true or close to being true, that it was expected that 55% of the library's operating budget would come, or 60% would come from the levy money, and the rest of it would come from the county.
Mm-hmm.
When the county got pinched, the county would pull that money, and then while they would, library would still have the levy money, you wouldn't get all of the county money, and that's why there were so many. And then they would close on Mondays, and people would say, well, what the heck? We voted for this place to be open 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so the library staff is kind of in this dancing, well, you know, we don't have the funding that we expected to have. And because
you got the levy money, but you didn't get the county money.
Yeah, and because the library is run by the county, is run by the Board of County Commissioners, who make the decision about what to fund. You're walking a tightrope there.
So you were a big advocate of the library forming the district, which it's had for a few years now. I don't know how many.
Oh, no.
How many?
It became effective in July of this year.
Of this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
July of 2014.
As of July.
Or maybe it was 13. Maybe it was 2013.
Well, whichever it was,
it's a very new experience.
It is
so new that the transfer of assets has not yet occurred. I'm on a committee that's looking at what the district should be doing. The transfer of assets has not yet occurred. They've convened a committee. I'm on that committee that's made up of friends and foundation people, labor union, the county's attorney.
So it's a work.
A lot of other people.
It's a work in progress.
It's still a work in progress. Yeah. And we've had some political situations going on in the county, which has, I would say, the stepping down of Jeff Kogan and then an election for who will be Multnomah County Chair. Those things delay decisions.
So you've served on all these committees, which some people would find difficult, because sometimes committees are not quick to make decisions, and many of us are impatient and want to get on with things. How adaptable are you to that environment? Having served on all these various committees, is it sometimes been very frustrating, or is it something that you just see as a great challenge? Or both?
Well, definitely both, and I have other things, descriptions I could use too, as well. But I am knowledgeable about it, and I think I'm invested in it. You know, I'm invested in the place being as good. I say the place, I mean the system, being as good as it can possibly be.
So it's kind of your way of becoming a librarian all these years later on.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Anything else you'd like to tell us about?
Well, the creation, I have to take credit for it. I actually have a pretty good sense of humor. And lots of times when I sit in these meetings and I try to make sense of what either the political people or the lawyers or the financial people are talking about, and trying to figure out how I would explain this to my friends who are supportive, but, you know, they're not meshed in details. And like I said, I think I have a pretty good sense of humor. So I was listening to, this is at a committee meeting with a very, very serious conversation. A political consultant, I think, was in the room too, about how to pass these things, you know, how to write them so that voters will approve them, about the district. And a big issue for creation of the district was establishing a tax rate. Because once an entity, whether it's a soil conservation board or a county or a city or whatever it is, once you establish a tax rate, it is very, very, very difficult to change that tax rate. There are ways you can get more money by going out for another levy, but when you've just created a district and told people you're going to be independent, you don't want to plan to do that for a very long time. So the question was about what should the rate be? And as you begin to think ahead, you think, okay, this is what we need now. We don't want to go out for a vote again for a long time. So we need to plan ahead. And they were talking about, you know, should it be 80 cents? I don't know, whatever it was. I think it wound up being a dollar. I think it wound up being $1.18 with a potential to go to $1.24. I think that's what it is. And I remember when we were talking on the low side, the connection came to me that, you know, this is like a cake. This whole thing is like a cake. Are you going to make and present a cake, or are you going to make and present a cake with frosting on it? And is that cake going to have any filling in it? And how many layers is it going to be? So, you know, that got a big laugh, and people started thinking about, well, yes, we do in fact want a library district that has the equivalent of frosting on it. We want to be able to grow. We don't want to have it so narrow that it will never be more than just a cake.
Do you think you got that?
I think so. I don't know how many layers it has, but, you know, it kind of depends on, it's a crapshoot. It depends on how the economy goes, on a lot of things, how the county grows. I think that what was presented, that the voters approved, is the very best possible thing for Multnomah County Library at the time. And hopefully it will be a long time before they have to go out. But I already know things they need. They know things they need. You know, they need more storage for their own books.
That's always a problem.
Yeah.
Well, anything else you'd like to tell us?
Well, I would just like to say, as I was preparing for this and kind of thinking about how I got reinvigorated by the whole place in the, you know, in the beginning, besides the friends, is that I, the library was always a really important place to me growing up, and in sometime in the early 80s, I reread 1984, and that was another thing that sort of galvanized me to think that public libraries are important and they just cannot go away. So I kind of traced my involvement back to my curiosity as a young person and wanting to be in the building and hear, see what was going on. And, you know, everyone treats, librarians always treat children, or this has been my experience, with a great deal of respect, kind of honor their intellect. So that's where it started. Rereading 1984 and kind of, you know, understanding that whole thing about freedom of thought and books, and, you know, just all kind of cemented my feelings about the place.
It's an interesting story. Well, we've been talking with Susan Hathaway Marxer. It's been a great pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you.